I Wish You Would. Written by Brookline Girl. Read by SBL. Fandom, The Untamed. Relationship, Lan Chan, Lao Wengji, Wei Ying, Wei Wuxian. Rating, Explicit. Chapter 1. Lan Chan's phone lights up on the nightstand. He untangles himself from the sheet so he can push himself to sitting and reach for it.
Do you think ducks know when winter is coming because of how cold the air gets or how cold the water gets?
Wei Ying.
It's when both get colder and also when food becomes more scarce.
He types back.
Also, it's after midnight. Don't you have a morning shift?
Wei Ying's response pops up immediately.
I'm a curious person. These questions keep me up at night. Also, hi, OMG, you're awake?
Yes.
Lan Chan types back, nonsensically. How would he be texting if he weren't awake? There's a sleepy noise behind him, and then an arm is slung over his hip, tugging him back. He looks over his shoulder, his phone still in his hand.
It's quite late, he says. Round 3?
Lan Chan hesitates for a moment, looking down at where the man, Matthew, he'd confirmed when he'd introduced himself, is grinning up at him. His hair is tousled from what had been a vigorous round 2, and he is honestly quite beautiful in the dim light filtering in through the curtains. Round 1 had been fast, but thorough. Round 2 had been long and leisurely, with Matthew sweating and begging beneath him, making very sweet sounds of ground-out bliss as he came. Round 3 would likely be a good time, but...
I have an early morning.
Lan Chan pushes himself up from the bed and begins to dress.
It's already morning, Matthew says. Technically.
He tilts his head and gives Lan Chan a soft smile, patting the bed beside him. It's something Lan Chan often thinks when it edges past midnight, but doesn't allow himself to say out loud, it having been pointed out to him that such statements come across as pedantic. He turns to look at Matthew as he pulls his jeans back on. They had been draped neatly across the desk chair in Matthew's bedroom after Matthew had socked him off, his hands clenched against the denim he'd tugged down Lan Chan's thighs. Matthew is pushed up on his elbow, watching Lan Chan, his gaze warm. He really is just as attractive as he'd presented himself on his Grindr profile.
I must go,
Lan Chan says, with a hint of regret. Matthew makes a move of disappointment as Lan Chan pulls his shirt back on, a soft gray sweater.
Okay.
Matthew lies back down, his arm tucked under his head, the sheet slipping down his hip. Lan Chan pauses for a moment. Tempting. He will admit it's tempting. But his morning class has a tendency to be... spirited. And he's already long past his usual bedtime.
Thank you, he says, for an enjoyable evening.
Matthew's grin is big and bright. The smile is actually what had drawn Lan Chan to his profile initially.
My pleasure,
he says, sounding a little sleepy now that round 3 is officially off the table.
My very real pleasure.
Lan Chan hesitates for a moment. He's very rarely inclined to a goodbye kiss with partners, but... He moves forward and leans in, kisses the smile on Matthew's face, lets himself linger there for a moment until it's edging on more. Matthew's hand coming up to cup the back of his neck. Matthew says, sinking back as Lan Chan pulls away.
You're such a good kisser. Thank you,
Lan Chan says absently, already thinking about the Uber ride home and how long it will take before he's in his own bed.
Goodbye.
He leaves Matthew's bedroom door open a bit, so he can hear it as Lan Chan slips on his boots in the entranceway and leaves, closing the door behind him. Lan Chan has a more difficult time than usual rising with his alarm the next morning. but his morning class on Saturdays isn't until 9 and he has some time to linger in bed, uncharacteristically allowing himself to check his messages for a bit before getting up. He texted with Wei Ying last night on the Uber ride home, finding out the source of his sudden dark curiosity. Late-night Animal Planet commercials on Hulu. But not why he was home watching Hulu on a Friday night.
The more important question,
Wei Ying had texted, his persistence coming across even on the screen,
is why you, sir, are up so late on a Friday night.
Why did you text me if you didn't think I would be awake?
Lenchen had asked, reasonably.
I like for you to have something interesting to wake up to.
Wei Ying had texted back immediately.
What kind of a friend am I if I don't make sure to stimulate your mind whenever possible?
Lenchen hadn't been able to tamp down his smile in the back of the Uber, the street lights rhythmically lighting up his phone screen as they flashed by.
Go to bed, Wei Ying.
Had been the last thing he texted. A string of kissy faces ending in a yawny face was what he'd received in return, which he considered a good sign of Wei Ying intending to take his advice. He himself yawns now in return. Last night had been a worthwhile endeavor, but he's paying the price with a hit to his sleep schedule. He makes himself roll out of bed finally, leaving the covers back until he comes to make it later. He puts on his running clothes before heading to the bathroom. After brushing his teeth and splashing water on his face, he pauses, studying his reflection for a moment. He's got circle under his eyes. Not too dark, but there nonetheless. He wishes he was constitutionally built for napping. He has only the one class today and lunch with Wei Ying afterwards. An afternoon nap sounds achingly good right now, but he knows when the time comes, his body will not want to settle down, and it's equal odds that if he does manage to fall asleep, he'll wake up feeling worse than he did before. He shakes his head at himself in the mirror and heads out for his run. Lenchen's class doesn't seem to notice he's perhaps a bit less sharp than usual, which is good. Saturday morning is for first-year piano students, and they are the ones who most often pounce on any excuse to distract from the lesson. He keeps them on track and is gratified to see that Jingyi, who has been stubbornly lagging behind, not due to a lack of talent, but to his own insistence on trying new and different ways to achieve what Lenchen is trying to teach them, had clearly practiced in the past week.
Good work,
Lenchen murmurs when he has finished his piece.
You've mastered the arch to your fingers.
Jiyi tilts his head to grin up at him. I know, he says smugly. Lenchen looks at him, not quite raising an eyebrow. Jiyi shrugs a little, color rising in his cheeks. He's been trying to get there for weeks now. Sutre worked with me, he says, shooting his grin across the room at Sutre now. That does explain it. Lenchen nods approvingly at Sutre, noting out of the corner of his eye that Jingyi is giving Sutre a proud thumbs up. Lenchen does love his first years. His more advanced classes are interesting and challenging in a different way. The chaotic energy of his first years is something he'd been a bit surprised to find he enjoys. You love Saturday class, Wei Ying points out at lunch. Look at you! You're glowing! He takes a gulp of coffee, his eyes dancing at Lenchen over the rim of the mug. Lenchen gives him a look, taking a sip of his own coffee.
It's gratifying to see young students gain skill in the work.
Wei Ying giggles, sharp and bright. Lenchen can see the curious faces of the other diners tilt toward the table at the sound. It happens often. Wei Ying attracts attention just by being himself. Lenchen can't blame the lingering stares. He's long since gotten used to it. Wei Ying's smile is so bright and engaging, and he never seems to notice the attention he's getting, which makes the eyes linger on him more. Lenchen studies him now.
This is what you wore to your shift at the gallery?
Weying's mouth drops open in mock offense. How dare you, Lan Chan, he says. Do not question my sartorial prowess. Lan Chan carefully cuts off a corner of his omelet, puts it in his mouth, and chews it, all the while studying Wei Ying before responding.
I would never question your prowess, he says solemnly. Only the possibility that it's a less than typical outfit for such work.
Wei Ying meets his gaze, lifting his chin, his eyes crinkling at the corners as he works to keep his offended face on.
In what way? He challenges.
Wei Ying is wearing black leggings that come to his shins, black sneakers with white laces, and a long flowing t-shirt that has the sides nearly fully cut out, leaving his arms and much of his ribcage exposed.
It's a bit revealing,
Lan Chan says finally,
for gallery work.
It's artistic,
Wei Ying shoots back, the grin sneaking forth from the corners of his mouth. Lan Chan says, taking another bite of omelet.
You can't just say,
Wei Ying reaches over with his fork and steals a grape out of Lan Chan's fruit bowl.
It's a look. The patrons love it.
And the gallery manager?
Lan Chan asks.
Does he love it?
He allows the barest pause before the love. Wei Ying grins.
Your brother didn't say anything when he saw me, he says. And he never will. He probably does love it. Saturday mornings get a different sort of crowd.
I'm charming, Lan Chan. He'll never find anyone who can charm a morning art lover better than I can. Lan Chan has to fight back a grin of his own. He can well imagine Lan Huan's reaction to the sartorial choice Wei Ying has made.
You know I'm right. Wei Ying gestures at him with his fork.
Lan Chan says again. But when Wei Ying makes a wounded noise, he spears a strawberry from his fruit bowl and puts it on Wei Ying's plate in a gesture of appeasement.
Hey, no, come on. Strawberries are your favorite.
Wei Ying tries to give it back, looking almost flustered. Lan Chan just stares at Wei Ying until he sighs and stuffs the strawberry into his mouth. They go for a walk afterwards, moving among the milling crowds of downtown on a spring Saturday.
Didn't you already get your exercise for the day?
Wei Ying asks, sucking iced coffee through a straw as he strides along beside Lan Chan. Lan Chan says.
This is an exercise.
No?
Wei Ying tilts him a look of disbelief, his straw still caught in the corner of his mouth.
It's a stroll.
Lan Chan says.
A perambulation amongst friends, if you will.
He watches as Wei Ying mouths the word perambulation around the straw.
Cute, Wei Ying says then, decisively. Very cute, Lan Chan.
He bumps his shoulder with his own. Lan Chan's stomach hurts a bit with the uncharacteristic extra caffeine he'd consumed at lunch. He can't understand how Wei Ying's constitution seems to allow caffeine to be a food group for him.
Let's go to that bookstore you like, Wei Ying says. I'm not ready to go home yet.
Me neither,
Lan Chan agrees, and Wei Ying bumps his shoulder again, humming a little under his breath. He's got long legs, a stride that can eat up city blocks, but he has a tendency to do this little hop as he moves, like he's working to keep up with Lan Chan. Lan Chan finds himself hopelessly endeared by it, by the way Wei Ying's body constantly curves towards his, head tilting in as he chatters about his morning, his grin catching the glint of the bright afternoon sun when he tilts his head back in a laugh. Lan Chan is definitely overtired. Maybe he will chance that nap this afternoon. Lan Chan sorts through the books he picked up when he gets home and contemplates his shelves absently. He's going to need to add another set at some point if they keep going to that bookstore. He lifts the books on the coffee table for now and sits back on the couch. Should he take another shower?
Without waking him up? It's tempting. He likes the thought of the hot water against the back of his neck, of just letting it flow over him until he feels functional again. But he's already showered once today, and the steps of having to get dried off and redressed feel like too much right now. He lets himself lie back on the couch, stretching his legs out, tucking his socked feet under the throw pillow at the end. It's rare enough that he uses a couch like this. The few times he does attempt to nap, he makes his way to the bedroom. The couch is comfortable, though. Wayne tells him that all the time as he sprawls across it when they watch movies. A nice couch, he intones solemnly. A costly couch, I bet. You paid good money for this couch, Lan-Chan. You've got to use it to its best effect. He's constantly trying to get Lan-Chan to slouch down with him on it, to really get the full couch experience. Now, as he lays back, he has to agree with Wei-Ying. He picks up his phone. He has no real intention to nap. He just wants to rest here a bit. He has several texts from Wei-Ying, though he only left him an hour ago. A picture of a bird perched on a railing, its feathers catching the sunlight.
Pretty, pretty guy,
is Wei-Ying's comment. A picture of Wei-Ying's black sneakers, still on his feet, the right one untied, a crying emoji underneath.
It is a good bird,
Lan-Chan texts back.
Also, I would prefer it if you did not fall over your laces. Try double knot next time.
He flips over to Grindr out of habit, scrolls for a bit, mindlessly, clicks on a couple of photos that pique his interest, ignores the messages he's received in the last few hours, clicks away. Maybe later. Maybe tomorrow. He thinks for a moment about Matthew's smile, bright and open. How he'd been grinning his profile picture instead of trying for sultry. He likes that sort of smile. Oh, he is going to nap, isn't he? His eyes are heavy, and he thumbs open his alarm clock, setting it for an hour later, and sets it neatly on the coffee table. He contemplates jerking off, thinking about last night as his cock stirring a bit. But he doesn't have the energy. He closes his eyes and turns his head against a soft throw pillow, drifting to sleep almost immediately. He wakes up with a start when the alarm goes off. He is bleary-eyed and confused for a few moments, fumbling for the phone on the table. Quite often, he wakes up moments before the alarm, his brain attuned to the time and is able to return to wakefulness without this sort of start. Still, he feels better than he did, thankfully, and runs his hand over his face, pushing himself to sitting. He has a text from his brother, inquiring about Lan-Chan's availability to join him for brunch the next day. He agrees to come over, asking what he can bring.
We have everything,
Lan Huan texts back.
Just bring yourself. Does 12 o'clock work?
Ah, oui. Lan-Chan had wondered if this was another opportunity for Lan Huan to work to get Lan-Chan more comfortable with his new boyfriend. New-ish boyfriend. It's fine. Lan-Chan likes the man okay, and he knows Lan Huan is anxious for them to get along. He'll bring a bottle of Prosecco. Lan Huan enjoys a Sunday mimosa. Wei has texted again as well. A picture of a neatly tied shoe, double knotted, with a message.
I do know how to tie my shoes, Lan-Chan. I just choose not to.
And then a series of emojis that Lan-Chan studies for a moment before giving up on being able to parse the story Wei is trying to tell. It ends with several drink emojis, so he feels fairly confident as he responds.
Going out tonight?
Yes.
Wayne texts back almost immediately.
Want to come? You can be my wingman. Get all the pretty girls to come away and pass them off to me.
Lan-Chan raises an eyebrow at his phone.
You do quite well on your own.
Wayne sends a series of crying laughing emojis.
It's more fun with you there.
Yes, well. True as that may be for Wei-Ying, Lan-Chan has had more than his share of Saturday nights observing Wei-Ying easily flirting with girls, getting tipsy on sour ales and whiskey drinks, depending on his mood, making eyes on Lenchen across the table even as he draws whatever girl has caught his interest tonight closer next to him.
I'm staying in tonight,
he types back. He scrolls for a moment, then selects a sleepy emoji as well as a yawning one.
Have fun. Be careful.
He puts down his phone before Wei Ying can respond. He doesn't want to get drawn into this outing. He does want to stay home. He'll head to the liquor store on the corner, pick up the Prosecco for tomorrow, perhaps go to the market across the street to see if anything looks inspiring to cook himself for dinner. A nice night in. Lan Chen puts together the knocking at his front door and the fact that his phone keeps lighting up on his nightstand all at once.
Oh,
he says, glancing at Chang Jun. He's almost certain is the man's name. He's usually better at remembering these details.
That's a friend. I must.
No problem. The man, yes, it was almost definitely Chang Jun, rolls easily to his feet.
I get it.
Lan Chen gets up as well, swiftly slipping on his pants and tugging a shirt on over his head. No time to look for his underwear, it's fine. Chang Jun has pulled his clothes on as well by the time Lan Chen looks over at him and is smiling at him from across the bed.
This was fun, he says.
Lan Chen pauses for a moment, caught up in that smile. The one that he'd been faced with across the vegetable bins at the corner market. The man there taking care of picking out his bok choy at the same time as he did not let his gaze waver away from Lan Chen. He agrees, not wanting to indicate this was anything other than it was, which is a one-time thing.
Okay, well.
Chang Jun glances over as there's another knock on Lan Chen's front door.
Thanks.
No misconceptions then. Lan Chen walks him to the door. When he opens it, Wei Ying is leaning against the door jamb, typing on his phone, inevitably another text to light up Lan Chen's phone where it's still on his nightstand.
Hey,
he says, glancing up from his phone. His mouth stays open, his fingers still poised over his phone, as most probably Chang Jun sidles past Lan Chen, brushing against him as he heads through the door.
Bye.
Chang Jun shoots a smile at both of them over his shoulder as he heads down the hall. Lan Chen keeps his face neutral as he looks at Wei Ying. Wei Ying is staring down the hall after Chang Jun, his mouth still open.
Wei Ying,
Lan Chen says.
Yeah,
Wei Ying says vaguely, still looking at Chang Jun's retreating back.
Come in,
Lan Chen says after a moment.
Oh,
Wayne's gaze snaps back to Lan Chen. Right,
Hi.
He stops talking and just stands there, looking at Lan Chen, his phone hanging loosely in his hand. Lan Chen tilts his head a little towards the apartment.
Oh, right,
Wayne says, laughing a little and pushing his hair back over his shoulder. He's got it up in a high, messy ponytail. He needs a cut, Lan Chen notices. It only starts trailing over his shoulder like this when it's gotten too long.
I'll come in, right.
Lan Chen stands aside to let him enter, then closes the door behind them. He glances at the mirror on the wall and winces. His mouth looks red, perhaps a little swollen, and undeniably like he's been sucking dick for the last half hour. He wonders if he smells like sex. Nothing to be done about either of those things.
Sorry,
Wayne says over his shoulder, towing his shoes off in the doorway.
Sorry to barge in on you here. I didn't mean to interrupt you and,
You weren't interrupting.
That wasn't strictly true. He'd gotten Chang Jun off with his mouth, and he had been just about to suggest reciprocation, but it really is no matter.
Would you like some tea? Or perhaps a drink?
A beer would be amazing,
Wayne says with some relief in his voice.
I could definitely use a beer.
That would be, yeah, I'd...
He cuts himself off, trailing behind Lantern, and sitting himself on one of the high stools at the breakfast bar separating the kitchen and the living room. Lantern keeps a pack of whatever interesting-looking beer gets stocked at the liquor store on the corner on hand for Weiying. He'd actually picked up this latest one tonight, hastily stashing it in the fridge along with a Prosecco for brunch with his brother tomorrow, when he'd arrived home with an unexpected hookup in tow. He pulls a can out and opens it, reaching up for a beer glass he keeps in the cabinet and pouring it carefully. Weiying is sitting at the corner, fumbling with his ponytail.
That's expensive beer, he says, putting the elastic in his mouth as his hair tumbles down around his shoulders.
He starts finger-combing it into place. It's past the middle of his back, Lantern observes. He definitely needs a card.
And I keep telling you I don't need a fancy glass. It's fine how it is,
he mumbles around the elastic. Lantern places the glass in front of Weiying, a little distance away so he doesn't knock it over while he works his hair back into a slightly neater ponytail.
You like a fancy glass, he points out.
He puts the can next to the glass as well, so Weiying can inspect the offering.
I do,
Weiying sighs, having achieved the ponytail finally, tugging at the sides of it to draw the elastic tight.
Oh, that's the new Wild Sour! Lantern, that's like $16 for a 4-pack.
Lantern leans against the counter across from Weiying.
It's a local brewery, he says.
Supporting local businesses. Fine, fine.
Weiying takes a sip and sighs happily.
It hurts to drink, he says. It's so good. Thanks. Listen, thank you.
Lantern inclines his head. Weiying is staring at him now, over the top of the glass. He looks a little wide-eyed still, a little flustered. Lantern waits.
I'm sorry I barged in,
Weiying says all in a rush, setting down his glass and fiddling with the rim.
I texted, and you didn't respond, but like, it's not late or anything. I figured you weren't in bed yet. I was nearby anyway. I figured I'd give it a shot, just to see if you wanted to hang out. Anyway, sorry, that was dumb. I didn't think you'd have anyone over.
He doesn't even seem breathless by the end.
Weren't you going out tonight?
Lantern asks.
I was, says Weiying. I am, I mean. Or, like...
He reaches up to straighten his ponytail again.
I'm supposed to meet Nie Huai Sang at like 9:30.
Lantern shits a little against the counter. A glance at the clock shows that it's barely 7.
It's early still, he says. I was going to make dinner. Would you like to stay to it with me?
Oh, Weiying says. Oh, I mean, yeah, but was that... Were you going to cook for...
He clears his throat.
Your friend? The guy who you were...
He trails off.
Sucking off mere moments before you arrived?
Lenchen's brain helpfully finishes the sentence for him.
No,
is all he says.
You honestly did not interrupt anything. Tang Jun was not staying.
He pulls his wok out and sets it on the stovetop after filling it with enough water to blanch the vegetables. He turns on the heat underneath it to get it to come to a boil.
Chang Jun, Weiying says. Right. He's your friend?
No.
Lantern washes the rice and fills the rice cooker, clicking it on.
Oh, Weiying says uncertainly. I hadn't heard you mention him before, so, right. If he was your friend, I'd have at least heard of him.
Correct.
Lantern turns and opens the refrigerator, pulls out the ingredients he'd picked up earlier. He'd been relatively uninspired at the store, but had found lotus root, which they did not usually have.
I was going to make a simple lotus root stir-fry, he says. Does that sound all right?
It sounds great, Weiying says. I'm starving. I never remember to eat before I go out, and then I get too boozy too quickly.
Good.
Lantern starts slicing the lotus root.
Cooking for one can get dull.
Well, Wayne takes a sip of his beer. Glad to help out there, then. Lantern glances up at him. Wayne is giving him a grin, but he still looks distracted and curious, his gaze resting on Lantern like he's the most interesting person in the world. Lantern, he says finally, slowly. If he's not your friend, then what was that guy?
Tang Jun,
Lantern supplies, then adds.
I think.
You think? Wayne blinks at him. You're not sure? Lantern has finished slicing the lotus root and sets it aside neatly. He begins cutting up the wood ear mushrooms. Wayne is fiddling with the empty beer can now. Okay, he says. So he's not a friend, but he was just here? On a Saturday night? Evening? He amends. That's late for, like, what, a repairman? You got something broken? It didn't look like a repairman. Lantern finishes preparing the mushrooms and sets to work on the red pepper.
He was not a repairman, he says. He was someone who came home with me.
He looks up at Wayne, not pausing in his steady slicing of the red peppers, fingers curled back from the knife.
From the store.
He sighs a little inwardly. He hadn't intentionally kept this sort of thing from Wayne. But it is private, and however close he and Wayne are, he is not inclined to share the details of his sexual encounters. It seems crude and wholly unnecessary. From the store, Wayne echoes. So, like... He stops, and his eyes, already wide, get wider, and the empty beer can slips from his fingers, landing on the counter in front of him with a clatter. Like, you and Tang Jun...
I'm fairly certain that's what he said his name was.
Lantern murmurs, reaching for the scallions.
You and probably Tang Jun, Wayne continues. You guys, like, hooked up? There was a Lantern you hooked up with him?
Lantern pauses, his knife hovering over the neatly laid out scallions. He looks at Wayne steadily.
You...
Wayne breathes slowly, in through his nose, out through his mouth.
That was... Holy shit, Lantern!
Lantern resumes cutting up the scallions. He can feel his ears getting hot. It takes a bit of effort to keep from frowning at the innocent vegetables under his knife. He's not ashamed of this, not in the slightest. But he will allow the fact that he feels a bit exposed here, and his body is betraying him by what he's fairly certain are his very pink ears.
Wait.
Wayne slides off his chair and comes around the counter so he's next to Lantern, still staring at him like he's never seen him before in his life.
You have to tell me. Tell me everything.
Lantern sets down his knife, turning to face Wayne. He lets one eyebrow go up an incremental amount.
No, I'm sorry, you've got to.
Wayne sounds insistent, excited.
This is a big thing, a big new thing for you. We need to discuss. You don't have to kiss and tell or anything, but I'm going to need more details, and his name is probably Tang Jun. You didn't even get his name, Lantern.
I did say I was fairly certain of it.
Lantern sounds prim, even to his own ears. He still does not believe he was deliberately hiding his assignations from Wing. But on some level, he's starting to think that it wasn't just luck that has kept Wayne from finding out about it for so long. Some unconscious self-preservation technique, perhaps, to avoid this exact conversation.
I'm going to need more details, Wayne announces again. And another beer, to go along with the details.
The water has come to a boil, and Lantern scoops the lotus root, mushrooms, and red pepper into it.
There are more beers in the fridge, he says,
Help yourself.
Help yourself.
Wei mutters to himself as he digs around in the refrigerator.
Help yourself, he says, after dropping that piece of information. Sure.
Sure thing. Absolutely.
He emerges with another beer and pops it open as he slides back onto his seat across the counter from Lenten.
So, he says, tell me. Tell me about it. When did you... How did you do it? He picked you up?
He had to have picked you up.
God, I'm not sure how you've gone all this time not having guys pick you up. Look at you. You're epically hot. Astoundingly hot. You're like looking at the sun. I can't believe you haven't had an array of guys in and out of this apartment this whole time.
Lenchen flicks off the heat under the wok and carries it to the sink, where he drains the vegetables thoroughly. He does not look over at Wei Ying, concentrated on making sure they all make it out of the wok.
There is a deep silence behind him.
Holy fuck,
he hears Wayne say under his breath.
Lenchen, look at me.
Lenchen sets the wok carefully back on the stovetop. He looks at Wayne. His ears feel very hot.
Do you?
Wayne stops. He's staring at Lenchen. Lenchen makes himself meet his gaze.
Do you, Lenchen, do you do this? Is this something you do? Do you pick up guys and bring them back here and... hook up?
Lenchen looks at Wei Ying, at the way his mouth is open just a little bit, looking soft, a curious tilt to it. He looks at his absurd going-out outfit. He has on jeans that look tight enough that he'd had to have lain down in order to wriggle into them, and a shirt that barely brushes the top of the jeans. Not exactly a belly shirt, but not exactly not a belly shirt. It keeps sliding off of his shoulder, too. Lenchen looks at him and says,
yes.
Fucking hell,
Wayne breathes. Lenchen starts preparing the sauce mixture, carefully pouring out the vegetable stock into a glass measuring cup.
Not always here,
he says.
Often I go to their place.
And on occasion, a nearby bathroom. But Wayne doesn't need that level of detail, however much he claims to.
Their place?
Wayne doesn't seem to be able to stop repeating the last thing Lenchen says.
More often than here.
Lenchen pours the vegetable stock into a bowl and adds oyster sauce. It's the truth. He prefers to go to their place most often. Today had been a slight anomaly due to how close Lenchen's place was to the market.
Right, Wayne says. Right, that's... That makes sense. That makes total sense. That's just...
He stops talking. His can of beer is still sitting in front of him, unpoured. He seems to have forgotten it. Lenchen completes the sauce mixture and flips on the heat under the wok again, pouring in oil and letting it heat up as he swiftly slices the ginger.
That doesn't make any sense at all,
Wayne says abruptly.
Why? How? You do this? Lenchen, you do this? You do this? You've never talked about it. You never told me. I tell you about all of my hookups. I tell you everything. You've been holding out on me.
Drink your beer, Wei Ying.
Lenchen adds the ginger to the wok. Wei Ying does tell him everything, and Wei Ying does his own fair share of hooking up. He's not as easy about it as Lenchen. He does pick up girls, in bars and coffee shops, and the occasional grocery store as well. He does not use apps, not out of any deep-seated judgment, but he likes to get to know people. He likes to know their stories. He has stayed friends with any number of women he is now referring to as hookups, when in reality they are women he's been drawn to, women he's enjoyed getting to know. They don't last, though. Lenchen has never seen Wei Ying go out with someone more than a couple of times. He seems to like them well enough, and any of those women would be more than lucky to have him, but none of them last. I don't sleep with people I don't like, Wayne has told Lan Chen in the past, looking almost pained about it.
I can't. I don't want to.
He sighed then. It might be easier if I did, but... well... Lan Chen sleeps with people he doesn't particularly like sometimes. He doesn't need to like them. Sometimes, Wing is correct. It is easier if he doesn't like them. He's not looking for a relationship. He's long since come to terms with that.
I am drinking my beer, Lan Chen.
Wing shoots back now.
Actually, I'm drinking your beer.
Because you're a nice person. And I thought, a good friend. Wing, when Lan Chen looks up from adding the garlic and scallions to the wok, is pouting at him. His lips drawn down into a disappointed frown. It's cute, however ridiculous it is. Lan Chen lets his eyebrow go up again as he adds the blanched vegetables to the wok.
Good friends tell you things.
Wayne lifts up his beer can and pours it into the glass, finally, still with a pout on his face.
I tell you things,
Lan Chen says.
Not about the dig you've been getting,
Wayne says flatly. Lan Chen pours the Shaoxing wine around the edges of the wok.
Did you want to know?
He asks.
About the dig I've been getting.
Wayne's face goes red all at once and he buries his face in his hands, making wounded noises into them as he does so. Lan Chen can't help smiling as he adds the sauce mixture to the wok. He's fairly certain that it's a smug smile. He can't bring himself to be bothered tamping it down. Wayne says something garbled into the palms of his hands. His ears are getting red, too. Lan Chen likes that. Turnabout being fair play, as it were.
You know that I can't understand you when you do that,
he says, stirring the vegetables.
I said,
Wayne says, dropping his hands from his face. That, yeah, Lan Chen, yeah, I do want to hear about the dig you've been getting. Okay, I do.
Dinner's ready.
Lan Chen turns off the heat under the wok and turns to get two low bowls from the cabinet.
Shall we eat?
Wayne glowers at him darkly.
Yeah, he says.
Yeah, let's eat. And discuss. No talking,
Lan Chen says, setting out the bowls on the breakfast bar, along with cloth napkins, as well as a set of chopsticks for each of them.
While eating.
In your dreams, buddy.
Wayne takes a long sip of beer. His blush is fading, but his cheeks are still ruddy with it.
I don't follow that rule at the best of times, let alone when you've told me you...
Wei Ying.
Lan Chen makes his tone stern.
Let's eat,
he says.
Okay, Wayne settles down solemnly. Okay, but this isn't over.
Oh.
Lan Chen slides into his own seat after filling both of their bowls.
I'm well aware of that fact.
Wayne's head is spinning from too much information, and perhaps too many beers. He'd ended up texting Nie Huaisan that he'd meet up with him later, then again to say he wasn't going to make it tonight after all.
He couldn't.
He couldn't just go out to a club and dance and flirt, not with his head really, truly spinning with the fact that Lan Chen hooks up. Lan Chen has Grindr. He'd refused to show Wei Ying his profile, and it's gnawing at Wei Ying.
How do you do it?
He demanded.
Do you have a sexy profile picture? What's your sexy face? Show me your sexy face.
Lan Chen had just looked at him across the table.
That's not it, Wei Ying had said. That's just your Wei Ying is being annoying face.
Wei Ying does like that face, though. He likes it when he causes Lan Chen to make it. There is something almost fond about the pained expression, and he thinks that even when he's being super annoying, that Lan Chen is hiding a smile behind his stern look.
What does his Grindr profile look like? What would Lan Chen put out there?
Is it like his normal expressionless face he makes when Wayne makes him take a selfie with him?
Maybe some guys would like that, would get off on that.
Lantern looking like he's a particularly stern teacher who's going to punish you if you don't behave.
Guy. Wayne flips over in bed.
Lantern had poured him into an Uber at the end of the night, once he had been well and truly past Lantern's bedtime. He'd offered to let him stay over. Quite often, Wayne does end up crashing at Lantern's on nights like this. But Wayne had been too worked up to even contemplate going to sleep. He was definitely a little bit past tipsy, but not, like, drunk. I can get the Uber, Lantern, he said, swaying on his feet just a little bit as he'd started his phone. I'm totally on it.
I've already called it.
Lantern had plucked his phone out of his hand and tucked it into his pocket for him.
I'll track your ride, but please text me when you get home.
I will. Wayne had promised. I will definitely text you. I will let you know where I am and what I am doing because I am a good friend who likes to share. Had he been pushing it? He thinks he might have been pushing it. He'd made that accusatory joke more than a few times already. Lantern had looked amused, maybe. A little.
I shared, he'd pointed out. I shared a great many things with you this evening.
That's true, Wayne thinks now, flipping over again in bed, trying to find a cool spot on his pillow. He'd sobered up a bit on the ride home and contemplated having another beer when he got into his own apartment, just to get the buzz back so he wouldn't have to think, but when it came right to it, part of the reason he came home was because he wanted to think. His brain feels overloaded with the things Lantern had, in fact, shared with him that evening. He'd thought he'd known Lantern inside and out. They'd been friends, best friends, he thinks stubbornly, since high school. He'd spent more time with Lantern than anybody else, even his own brother. He was the first person Lantern came out to, the first person he'd ever told that he got crushes on boys, not girls. He remembers that. Lantern more beautiful at 16 years old than he had any right to be, sitting neat and somber on Wayne's bed. The only sign of tension had been the way he'd held his shoulders in a straighter line than usual, and in how the corners of his mouth had been tight.
I do not want to date, he told Wayne,
who had been mournfully complaining about a lack of a date to the upcoming dance.
Not want to date?
Wing, who had been sprawled back on his bed so Lantern could see the extent of his suffering, had pushed himself to sitting.
What on earth? Do you not even like people? Do you not want to kiss people? I want to kiss people. I want to do that all the time.
Lantern had shrugged, carefully.
I do like people, he had said.
Wing had given him an incredulous look.
Some people,
Lantern had amended. Not a lot of people, Wayne had pointed out.
Not a lot of people,
Lantern had agreed. You like me, Wayne had grinned at him.
I do,
Lantern had said after a moment. But no one you want to date? It was a ludicrous thought. Lantern had been silent for a handful of seconds before he'd said,
No.
He'd pressed his lips together for a moment. His ears had been very, very red. Wayne remembers that. Scarlet, almost, looking like they could catch fire. He rolls over again in bed now. He can't actually remember the words Lente had used to tell him. He feels so dumb that he can't remember that part clearly, but he remembers how red his ears had been. He knows Lantern had somehow told him that the only people he'd been interested in dating were boys, and how none of the boys in school were someone he'd be willing to date. It hadn't exactly blown Wayne's mind. Lantern was a button-up kind of guy, and if you looked closely, it was sort of obvious once you knew.
Not that Wayne went by stupid stereotypes or anything like that, but there was, perhaps, a quality there. It felt special, knowing it for real, though, that Lan Chen had trusted him enough to tell him. That Lan Chen hadn't been worried about telling his straight best friend about being gay, that he'd known Wayne well enough to know that he wouldn't flip out, or worry that Lan Chen was after him, or anything like that. He thinks that was the last conversation that ever had about Lan Chen dating. Lan Chen was self-sustained and seemed fulfilled and never seemed like he was interested in it. And Wayne had, after a few wretchedly failed attempts at wingmanning Lan Chen at high school dances, made the decision to respect Lan Chen's boundaries when it came to his personal relationships. And now, he finds out that all this time, Lan Chen was, in fact, dating. Or, well, would you call it dating? It probably wasn't dating, what Lan Chen was doing. It was something else. Grindr, he'd breathed out after Lan Chen told him.
Yes.
Lan Chen had gazed at him.
If I were dating somebody, you would know. I would tell you.
He'd seemed determined to make the point. I know, Wayne had said. I just... Grindr? So, not dating. Definitely not dating. Just hooking up with guys. Just random hookups. He hadn't even been sure of that guy's name. The guy who had slipped out the door, brushing past Wei-Ying, giving what even Wei-Ying had to admit was a killer smile over his shoulder as he headed away. The guy with a great smile, who was maybe probably named Tang Jun, who had picked Lan Chen up at the grocery store. Or maybe Lan Chen had picked him. Lan Chen hadn't specified, and Wei had been fumbling over too many questions as it was. Some had fallen by the wayside. Wei considers himself a pretty intelligent person, but his brain is really failing down on the job here, trying to reconstruct itself to understand this whole new world order. Wei flips over again, turning onto his back and staring up at the ceiling in the dark. Maybe he should have had that last ill-advised beer when he came home, to help him slip into the oblivion of sleep. His brain wouldn't stop picking at the new perspective he has on Lan Chen, tracing over the details, however few of them there were, that Lan Chen had shared with him tonight. How does it work exactly? Wei wonders. He's no blushing virgin himself, but he does things the old-fashioned way. Picks girls up in bars, sometimes, sure, sometimes lets himself get set up on dates, that sort of thing. Not that he's found anyone who he thinks is, like, the one. But he's still friends with most of the girls he's gone out with. He likes them. He doesn't do dating apps. He doesn't see the point. He wants to know the person he's going out with, and that doesn't work for him, not through a screen and a series of texts. He needs more than that. Lan Chen doesn't need more than that. Lan Chen, apparently, just needs dick. Wayne feels his face get hot, which is dumb. It's so dumb to be getting embarrassed about this in the privacy of his own bedroom. And besides, it's not quite fair. Surely Lan Chen is looking for a somewhat decent guy when he's on Grindr, right? Tang Jun had seemed like a decent guy from the short glimpse Wayne had of him. He hadn't tried to embarrass Lan Chen in front of Wei-Ying, and he hadn't flaunted what they'd done at the same time as he hadn't seemed ashamed of it either. God, what is Wei-Ying even thinking? He doesn't know anything about Lan Chen's latest hookup from a 10-second interaction in the hall of Lan Chen's apartment building. He apparently doesn't even know anything about Lan Chen after 10 years of friendship either, or at least not as much as he thought he did. He can't picture it. He can't. He cannot. Lan Chen bringing the guy with a killer smile home to do what? What does Lan Chen do? Lan Chen hadn't gone into that part of it, not that Wayne had asked. Not exactly. Grindr, he'd said again, helplessly. That's a hookup app. You hook up, Lan Chen. You, when you listen, really, you pick up guys and you...
Lan Chen had just looked at him, seeming completely unfazed. He had not deigned to go into further detail.
Wayne shoves his covers down now.
He's too hot.
It's so warm. It's still early spring. How is this warm in his room?
He'd shoved all his clothes off when he came home, leaving them in a pile on the floor and crawled into bed naked, scratching a little bit at where his snug jeans had left indented lines along his waist. The air of the room feels good against his overheated skin.
Maybe he should have gone out tonight after all. He'd been in a mood to pick someone up. Thus the jeans that made his ass look amazing. The skimpy shirt that made him feel like sex on legs.
He'd meant to. He'd been ready. But all of that had gotten sidelined by Lan Chen's revelation. The fact that Lan Chen had gotten late tonight and Wayne hiding was ludicrous. Bewildering. Incomprehensible.
When Wayne had gotten there, Lan Chen's mouth had looked red, almost bruised.
Red in a way that Wayne had never, not even once, considered he would ever see on Lan Chen. Like he'd been... Fuck. Like he'd been sucking dick. Exactly like he'd been sucking dick.
Sucking maybe probably Tang Jun's dick. Right before Wayne had shown up knocking on his door like an idiot.
Wayne shifts in bed. He should have been the one getting his dick sucked tonight. He'd been almost counting on it. Not all girls like to do it, but he has a pretty nice dick if he does say so himself.
And honestly, something about the tight jeans and the strip of skin that shows when he wears this shirt quite often leads to him getting hit on by girls who really want to suck his dick.
He sighs, running his hand down his chest, thinking about it. He's been horny as hell all week for some unknown reason. Primed for it. And instead, all he'd accomplished tonight was wrecking Lan Chen's own dick-sucking session for him.
Fuck, had he actually interrupted them, like, in the middle of things?
Tang Jun had seemed pretty happy when he was leaving, and from the state of Lan Chen's mouth and his own personal knowledge of Lan Chen's determination to do his best at anything he set his mind to, Wei was pretty sure Tang Jun had gotten off, no problem. He gets a sudden, vivid image of it. He has to press his hands against his eyes until he sees stars to make it go away.
Lan Chen, on his knees, his mouth around that guy's dick, that guy thrusting slowly in and out, maybe making those same little noises that Wayne does when he's getting a really, really good blowjob, the tiny whimpers he can never help letting escape from his throat.
Fuck. Fuck. He scrubs his hands harder against his eyes. He really needs to get laid.
Lan Chen had apparently needed that too. Picking up a dude at 5 in the afternoon. At 5 in the afternoon at the Asian market on the corner. The brazenness of it all. He must have really needed it. Wayne wonders if he's one of those guys who really enjoys it. Who's totally into it. The taste of it. The rhythm of it. Getting a guy off long and slow and, like, thorough.
Lan Chen seems like the type of guy who would really enjoy it, Wayne thinks.
And then Wayne had barged in and wrecked it for him.
Had Lan Chen even had the chance to get off before Wayne started banging on his door?
Wayne thinks about the whole time that Lan Chen was making them dinner. All the careful chopping and preparation. Those sweatbands that Wayne knows he paid way too much money for, slung low on his hips, like he had pulled them on in a hurry, when he'd been rushing to get the door.
Had he done all of that while still turned on?
If Wayne had interrupted them before Lan Chen had had his turn, was he making a stir fry and dealing with Wayne getting tipsy at him while he was still unsatisfied, that thrum of need under his skin?
That thrum that Wayne is feeling right now himself.
Like his skin is too tight. Like it's been way too long. Like he's a live wire of need, where if he doesn't get off soon, he's going to just explode with it. Fuck it.
Wayne draws his hand down over his stomach, down his thigh. Can't help teasing himself. Just a little. Because he knows once he touches his dick, it's going to feel... fuck.
He wraps his hand around himself and it's so good. He's so ready.
He's slick already. He's been hard for a while now, without exactly noticing it. Not really.
He whimpers a little as he draws his foreskin back, runs his thumb over the head of his dick.
It's good. It feels really good. But he can't stop thinking about how a blowjob would feel so much better. Getting to slide his dick in and out of some girl's mouth, soft and wet around him. She'd go down deep, maybe, after getting used to it, wrapping a hand around the base of it and jerking him off just right as she sucks him down. He's making himself take it slow, still teasing, moving his hand just a little up and down. He feels like he could come with just a few quick, hard strokes, but that's not going to do it for him right now. He swallows another whimper, lifting his hips just a little into the stroke. He needs this so bad, and he wasn't even the one who got cock-blocked tonight. Len Chen keeps everything close to the vest, but if Wayne had been in the middle of hooking up, maybe he had gone down on a girl and gotten her off with his mouth, letting his own need take a backseat to it, letting it build in the background, anticipating what would happen after, and then had it just get sidelined.
God.
He turns his head against his pillow, pressing his cheek against it, lifting his hips into his strokes again. That had to have been torture for Len Chen. Even though it had been late when Wei had left, well past the time Len Chen usually started blinking slowly, sleepily, Len Chen must have had to have done something about it before bed. Maybe right after Wei left. Maybe he'd gotten Wei out the door and then shot it, locked it, leaned up against it and shoved his hand into his sweatpants. Wayne's stick gives a jerk against his hand, more pre-cum spurting out, making everything slicker, messier. He likes it messy, and this time, his whimper turns into a groan as he jerks his hips up hard a couple of times before slowing it back down, keeping himself on edge. Fuck those sweatpants. If Len Chen had been in a hurry to get dressed, had he even put on underwear first? Probably not. Definitely not. Even someone as cool and put together as Len Chen usually is, when they're in a rush to get dressed, would just pull those soft pants up over his hard dick, probably desperately willing his hard on to go away as he raced for the door. But when Wei Ying had finally gone and Len Chen could take care of business, that would mean that when he shoved his hand in, it would have been easy to get a grip on his hard dick. He'd probably shoved the sweatpants down his thighs so he could really go for it. Leaning back against the door, jerking himself off hard, fast. He'd have been desperate for it for so long now that he probably wouldn't be able to slow himself down. Would need to just go for it. Wayne's dick is dripping a puddle into his stomach, and he can't breathe quite right. His head thrown back, his hips moving now without his volition. He's trying to hold back, trying to hold on, the knife's edge of arousal, of need, building up tight in his belly and his balls. Was that what it had been like for Len Chen? Would he be making frantic noises like Wei Ying is right now? Desperate, caught up noises of need and desperation as he gets closer and closer, chasing that orgasm that had been delayed for so long, that desire to come that had to have been building in him for hours until he... Wayne's hand is moving faster and faster, his stick hard as a rock, as he trembles on the edge of orgasm, so close, so close, so... He comes, crying out, his leg kicking out, his dick jerking as he spurts over his fist and onto his stomach again and again, coming harder than he has in ages. It feels like it goes on for a long time, and he lets himself be loud, lets himself make noise as it rings out of him. He collapses afterwards, panting, his hand still wrapped around his softening dick,
his stomach and hand a slick mess.
Fuck.
Fuck. Fuck, that had been intense. He'd really needed to get off. He'd known, but he hadn't known how bad he needed it. He knows he should get up, should probably shower, should probably at least wipe it all off with a washcloth. Instead, he fumbles for tissues on his bedside table, cleans up the worst of the mess. He's exhausted now that he's gotten off. Sleep hovering close, like he'll sink into it the moment he closes his eyes. He feels good, loose, relaxed. And he yawns and draws the covers back up over himself as he shivers, feeling like the room has cooled off a little. He'll text Lenchen in the morning. Apologize for the belated realization about the cock blocking. He'll make it better. It's all good. Lenchen is distracted throughout brunch with his brother the next day. He'd nearly forgotten the Prosecco. He made it to the street before he'd remembered it and had to go all the way back upstairs to get it. He has to concentrate to pay attention to the conversation over brunch. His brother had, in fact, invited Nie Mingzhe to join them, which is fine. Lenchen likes Nie Mingzhe well enough. His brother has not, as yet, come right out and told Lenchen that he's dating Nie Mingzhe. But he's been invited to more and more family events, and a glance into Lan Huan's room shows him Nie Mingzhe's wallet and keys on the bedside table. It's obvious enough that Lenchen wonders, a little, why his brother wouldn't just say something. He ponders that as they eat, thinking about how he'd just accepted the fact that Lan Huan may never actually say it, may just fold Nie Mingzhe into their lives for however long they stayed together, that it would never occur to Lenchen to inquire about it.
Lenchen, Lan Huan says, when they finished the really quite beautiful quiche Lan Huan had made for them. How was your class yesterday? How are the children coming along?
It was good.
Lenchen takes a sip of water as he watches Lan Huan pour another mimosa, sliding it across the table to Nie Mingzhe with a soft smile. Nie Mingzhe's fingers linger against Lan Huan's as he takes the glass, even as his face stays in its usual stern expression. It must be the mustache, Lenchen thinks vaguely. It makes him look steely. But Lan Huan's gaze is warm, his lips turning up in a fond smile, like Nie Mingzhe has done something sweet. Lenchen wonders what Lan Huan would say if he asked about them.
They're coming along fine,
he says then, realizing he's left the silence lingering. Neither of them seem to have noticed.
They'll be prepared for the recital later this month.
Good, Lan Huan says. Lenchen teaches a class of fledgling musicians, he explains to Nie Mingzhe. Nie Mingzhe nods.
You've mentioned that,
he says.
Piano, right?
Lenchen lowers his head in a nod. Lan Huan draws his hand back and picks up his own mimosa by the stem of the delicate flute. He takes a sip.
It was good of you to bring the Prosecco, he says.
Lan Chen thinks about the bag from the liquor store in his hand as he perused the grocery store for inspiration and discovered it in the form of Tang Jun.
How has the rest of your weekend been?
Lan Huan is focused on him now.
Fine,
Lenchen says, wondering for a brief moment how his brother would react if he said,
I fucked a stranger I met on the internet on Friday night.
If he said,
I sucked the dick of a different man on Saturday night before dinner. A sort of aperitif.
He has the horrible feeling that he might laugh nonsensically here at the brunch table. Feels it rising up in him. He takes another sip of water instead.
Wayne came over last night. Made him that stir-fry that you enjoy.
The one with the lotus root? Lan Huan asks with interest.
It's my favorite of Lenchen's dishes,
he says as an aside to Nie Mingzhe.
And how was Wei Ying?
Beautiful.
Lenchen's brain helpfully provides.
Distracting.
It follows up, and then...
Hopelessly straight.
He's good,
is what he says.
Wei works in my gallery,
Lan Huan explains to Nimingzhi, who nods, his gaze lingering, it seems, on Lan Huan's mouth.
He's very skilled with the clientele.
He looks over at Lan Chen.
He mentioned his plans for going out last night, when he was wrapping up his shift. Did that change? Wei says a lot of things,
Lan Chen says, shrugging one shoulder. Lan Huan laughs.
That much is very true.
He sips his drink, studying Lan Chen. His mouth pulls down a little in what looks like something close to sympathy, and Lan Chen is desperately glad that another thing that they both know but never talk about is Lan Chen's decade-old crush on his straight best friend.
He does not need to discuss that.
Not with Lan Huan. Certainly not in front of Lan Huan's new boyfriend. Not now. Not ever.
You had lunch with him as well, right?
Lan Huan says lightly.
I did.
Lan Chen says it guardedly.
His outfit,
Lan Huan says. Lan Chen tilts his head to the side, allowing his brother to see the wince that slides across his face.
You should come by sometime,
Lan Huan says to Nimingzhi.
The things he wears. The clients love it, but they are quite...
He waves one hand around.
He insists he's straight, but never in my life have I observed a straight man wear leggings.
The smile that he gives when he says it is gentle, but it still stabs at Lan Chen. Just a bit. This is the closest they ever come to talking about Lan Chen's crush. He feels his ears go hot as he says.
Sartorial choices are not an indication of sexuality.
Lan Huan hums a little, still watching Lan Chen.
Not always, no. But in some cases, it does feel as though it may be a way of indicating a tendency.
Lan Chen is tired.
He's tired. It's been a long weekend. He was up too late last night, unable to wind down after Wei Ying had left. He loves his brother, but he hates this conversation.
Have you spoken to Uncle?
He asks abruptly, then turns to Nimingzhi.
Have you met our uncle yet?
He can edge along the things Lan Huan doesn't want to talk about as well. They are both very good at that.
I hadn't had the opportunity to introduce them.
Lan Huan responds lightly, now looking at Nimingzhi.
I did speak with him earlier this morning. How is his trip going?
Lan Chen knows how his trip is going. He himself had spoken to Uncle on Friday. He'd flown to Shanghai on Wednesday and won't be back for several weeks.
It's going well, Lan Huan responds,
then turns to Nimingzhi, his eyes warm.
May I pour you another?
Lan Chen takes another sip of water and watches Nimingzhi smile as he allows Lan Huan to pour the drink for him, his face soft even with the sternness of the mustache. He stays quiet and lets Lan Huan fill the rest of the brunch with soft, even chatter that you could believe was a conversation if you didn't listen too closely. End of chapter 1.